His house, magnify His name, and worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship Him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Come on, we have come into His house. Oh, we have come into His house to magnify His name and worship Him. We have come into His house to magnify His name and worship Him. Oh, we have come into His house to magnify His name and worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship Him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So forget about yourself. Hallelujah. So forget about ourselves and concentrate on Him and worship Him. Oh Lord, let's forget about ourselves, concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget, oh, so forget about ourselves, concentrate on Him and worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship Him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Come on, let's lift up holy hands. Hallelujah. Oh, so let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name, worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands. So let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name, and worship Him. Oh, lift up holy hands. Lift up holy hands, magnify His name, and worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship Him, Jesus Christ. Oh, worship Him. Oh, worship Him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Come on, let's praise Him. For we have come into His house, to magnify his name and worship him. Oh, we have come into his house to magnify his name and worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship him, Jesus Christ, he's our Lord. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. What a marvelous privilege it is to serve our risen King. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you will, let's turn to Psalms 27 in our Bibles. Praise the Lord. I got up a little early this morning. I started reading at Psalms 25, and I sort of got stuck on Psalms 27. Brother Kalima and myself, we were talking yesterday, and he was talking about what's actually going on in Russia with the message. In this Laodicean and age, and this sort of struck home because we know that the rapture is at hand, and this was actually the scripture that our prophet used to preach the message, the rapture. So that was on my mind when I woke up this morning. Praise the Lord. Says the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies, my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. In a time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Thou saidest, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. False witnesses are risen up against me, such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, it is a privilege, Lord God, to serve you and to wait on you to fulfill your word and your will. Lord, we know that your will is your word. Father, we have gathered into this place this morning, Lord God, by the will of God, to worship and praise our God because of who you are, Lord. And we're so grateful for the things that you have done in our midst, that you're doing in our midst, and that you shall do, Father. We lift up your name this morning. And Father, we ask, oh God, giving thanks to you, Lord, for your traveling mercies. We ask that you continue to be with our brothers and sisters as they come into the house of the Lord. Bless your children wherever they are, Lord. We ask, O God, that you anoint each and every one of your servants this morning in a special way. Anoint Brother Jack, Lord God, that he may get himself out of the way to preach your word to your children. Anoint our hearts to receive it, O God, as we humble ourselves before you. We love you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. Receive our worship. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. won't be long. We're going home in a day now, saints. Hallelujah. We'll be going home. Count the years. Count the months and weeks.
Where I'm going, oh, soon. my Lord. Oh, we're going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture to be with my Lord. I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture to be with my.
Come on, tell your neighbor, we're going in the rapture. Hey,
we're going in the rapture. We're going in the rapture. We're going in the rapture to be with. Yeah, yeah. Oh, we're going in the rapture. We're going in the rapture. We're going in the rapture to be with my Lord. Oh, going in the rapture. We're going in the rapture. We're going in the rapture to be with our Lord.
One more time, sir.
We're going in the rapture. We're going in the rapture. We're going in the rapture to be with our Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm going in the rapture to be with my. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture to be with my Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen, amen. We have come into the house of the Lord to feed on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Amen, eating our way into the body change. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may have your seats. We have a few specials this morning. Sister Sarah. Aren't you grateful this morning? Hallelujah.
Because of who you are, I am a flower quickly because of who you are.
Tuesday's prayer war room, the brothers interceded on behalf of a woman who was dealing with heart failure. She was hospitalized for weeks, not able to move, and fluid going through her brain. I received a report from her on Thanksgiving that she is well, able to move, and her memory's back, and I thank the Lord for healing, for his healing. Praise the Lord. He's God. Amen. He's God. He's the healer. Amen. He's the great one in our midst. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good. Is there anything too hard for God? Praise the Lord. Got one from Brother Mike. It says, the day before yesterday, my supervisor was coughing out blood. And me and a coworker believe it's due to cigarette smoking. And he has been smoking since he was 12 years old and he's now 67. Ain't no telling what it looks like on the inside. I just pray God heals him and the addiction he has been fighting, been battling. So we want to pray for this gentleman. I had a brother from South Carolina, Brother Jack. He texted me. His sister, she's in a terrible condition. Fighting cancer real bad, so she needs prayer. So we would like to take these before the Lord as well. Amen. Will you stand to your feet and we'll be seated. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so grateful for the report that we received this morning of your mighty hand, Lord. The scripture says you sent forth your word and you healed them. You are the God that healeth all of our diseases, Lord, and you're everything to us. Father, and we're so grateful. We rejoice, Lord God, with our sister, Lord. We don't know whether she's a Christian or not. If she isn't, Lord, we ask, Lord God, that you not only have you healed her body, but save her soul, Lord. And we pray for these, Lord, Brother Mike's supervisor, Lord. Oh, Lord God, we just ask, oh God, that you'll remove the addiction that's causing his affliction, Lord. Father, we ask, Lord God, that you loose the bonds that Satan has upon him, Lord God, and heal his body of whatever is ailing him, oh God. We pray for Brother Jack's sister, Lord God, up in South Carolina, Lord. You know all about her situation. The saints have been praying everywhere for her, Lord. And we just ask, oh God, that you move on the scene. Move as only you can, Lord. There's no other healer but you, so we're crying out to you and believing you, Lord, that you will fulfill your word. Father, you said if two or three agree as touching any one thing, you would do it. So we as your children, Lord, we come humbly before your throne, asking that you'll move on their behalf. Lord, every desire upon your people's hearts, whatever need they may have this morning, meet each and every one as only you can. We'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen. Sister, do we have any announcements this morning? Praise the Lord. Tomorrow we have birthdays for two precious sisters. Sister Cobb and Sister Sherelle. She's not here. But praise the Lord. God bless you, Sister Cobb. And happy birthday to you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Pinnacle Palm service today at 5:30. And the Holy Land deposits $300 due by December 15th. And we'll have a guest speaker Wednesday night service December 6th at 7:30. Amen. We like to ask the brothers to come at this time. We'll take up this morning's tithe and offering.
He's given Jesus Christ, his son. Oh, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his son. The Lord has done for me. And now let the weak say I am strong.
has done for us. And now, oh, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done. Come on, one more time. Say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We have one more this morning. Will you have your seat? Sister Tina, will you come?
God bless you. I had something else in mind, but someone requested this, so haven't sung it in a long time, so I hope it's a blessing.
I don't have much to bring. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Take me to the King. Truth is, I'm tired. Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't fake what's left to do. Truth is, I'm no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try. But still my soul refuses to die. Ooh, one touch will change my life. Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone. Gaze upon your glory and to sing to you this song. Take me to the King. Truth is, it's time to stop playing these games. We need a word for the people's pain. Right now, let it fall. I surrender all, oh, to Thee, my blessed Savior. Oh, I surrender all. Oh, I surrender. I surrender all, oh, to Thee, my blessed Savior. Oh, I surrender all. Oh, I, Lord, I surrender. I surrender, surrender all, Lord, all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Sister Tina. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to invite our pastor at this time. Let's sing that little song. Amen. Will you stand to your feet? Amen. How many appreciate the specials this morning?
Glad he sees through eyes of love. I was a hopeless case, an empty space, if not for grace. A hopeless case, an empty space, if not for grace. Think about those words. A hopeless case, an empty space, if not for grace. One more time. I was a hopeless case, an empty space, if not for grace. Hallelujah. Wow. Don't you just tell somebody, I thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. Case, empty space, but thank God for grace. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. How many just appreciate the Lord Jesus? Amen. It's so good to be back in His presence. I trust everyone had a happy Thanksgiving. Amen. And just enjoyed time with you, your family, and just enjoyed the meals that were prepared and all of those things. We just appreciate the Lord. Many that were traveling and made it back home safely, we certainly are grateful. Amen. That God just watched over you. So good to see Brother Luke this morning. Amen. Good to have him. And amen. And fellowship with us on today. Amen. I'm not going to hold you any longer. Musicians, thank y'all so much. Amen. We appreciate you. Thank God. Amen. Brother Solomon, just you getting yourself out of the way and leading us in worship. Thank you so much, brother. We appreciate you. And I heard the specials. Amen. Sister Sarah and Sister Cherise and Sister Tina, certainly appreciate those songs. Praise the Lord. Amen. You all, just get your Bibles quickly. I'll make two quick announcements. Amen. For today, unfortunately, we had an issue with our computer. So if y'all looking for the YouTube broadcast, it won't be there. You have to go to the church website and just listen, amen, to the service if you want to go back to it. I'll get that squared away sometime this week. But that's just the way the devil like to do things. Amen. But he's still a liar. And every time the devil pushes like that, I start thinking of, okay, what can we do to have a backup plan? You know? So we'll figure all those things out. And after service, if we would, just would like all the brothers just to remain behind after service. We just kind of need to talk about a couple things. And so if the brothers would remain, amen, after service, I greatly appreciate that. Amen. If you would just turn with me to Genesis, amen, chapter 22. Genesis 22. I'd like to read a verse here. Couple verses starting at verse 15. Man. It says, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. Thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And just another quick verse over here in 1 Corinthians 15, if you just turn there with me, we'll read that. Verse 26 here in 1 Corinthians 15 says here, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Amen. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Amen. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to read scripture. But God, only the Holy Ghost helps us to understand what it is that we have read. So we pray, Father, that you would just anoint our minds. So we thank you for the anointing that has come, Father, through song, through worship. Now, God, your word, we pray that the Holy Spirit will ride on the word and bring it to our hearts, draw us closer to you as we sit in fellowship around it here today. Be glorified and magnified in our midst. Hide us all behind the cross that we might not be seen, but may Christ be on display. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask it. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. It's so good to see the Sunday school class grow this morning. Amen. It was good to see that. And also, many getting here a lot earlier. Amen. For service. God bless you. Thank you. It creates a wonderful environment. You all experienced some of that, amen, this morning in the worship, and I believe God wants to do even more for us. So I encourage us all, do all we can, amen, to get here 30 minutes, amen, ahead of service time. If service starts at 10:30, your goal is 10 o'clock. Amen. If service starts at 10:30, your goal is 10 o'clock. If service starts at 7:30, your goal is 7 o'clock. Amen. This is how we want to approach God. We want to raise it an octave. Amen. If we can. So this morning, I want to, amen, take for a topic. It happened at Calvary. Amen. It happened at Calvary. And I will be doing a little series on this topic. Amen. So we'll start with a little part today, but I will be going forward. Amen. With this, it happened at Calvary. Thank God for Calvary. Amen. I certainly appreciate what our Lord and Savior did for us there. Amen. At Calvary, there were a number of events that actually took place according to scripture. Amen. Some things that happened that we might not know about that happened at Calvary. Amen. And our hope is to, amen, journey through these things, amen, over the next couple of weeks. But just to get us started here, amen, the prophet made a couple comments as I was listening to a couple sermons on this. And one comment, it says there were two seed of Abraham. All right. When we look at this, amen, we see Isaac, amen, being the natural seed. But Christ is the spiritual seed of Abraham. And when you look at these promises that God was giving Abraham, you know, at that time, you know, and bless, and I will bless thee and multiply, and I will multiply thy seed. I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. When the scripture speaks of thy seed, amen, it's talking about one seed. Amen. And we're not all blessed through Isaac. Amen. But we're blessed through Jesus Christ. Right. That's really what God was referring to back there. You know, when he gave Abraham these promises, you know, when he's talking about thy seed, you know, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. He was talking about his spiritual seed, which would have been the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So Brother Branham tells us there were two seed of Abraham, the natural seed and the spiritual seed. Amen. And the spiritual seed is what we call the seed of his faith. Amen. The seed of his faith. And another thing that the prophet said is that the change in Abraham and Sarah's bodies, amen, was a type of what would happen to the seed of Abraham. All right. To the seed of Abraham. Also, because we're connected through Abraham's faith. Now, the scripture actually points out, amen. Galatians 3:16 says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So Paul helps us to understand that when we're looking at this scripture, and Paul is referring right back to Genesis, amen, 22 and 18. When he says that statement there, thy seed, which is Christ, we all are connected to Abraham's faith through Christ. Hallelujah. We're connected to, amen, the promises that God gave Abraham. It's all through Christ. Praise the Lord. And he also said this in Galatians 3:29, says, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. My God, my God. I tell you what, you know, some things I've been looking at with Abraham and our church, I'm an heir. Amen. I'm an heir. Everything God promised Abraham, he promised me. Praise the Lord, somebody. You know, I was looking at some things there with Abraham. You know, there was a time where Abraham had left the promised land. He went down into Egypt and got amongst Pharaoh. And when he got down there amongst Pharaoh, Pharaoh decided to take Abraham's wife. He lied and said that was his sister, right? But Pharaoh decided to take Abraham's wife. And when he did that, just things started going wrong in Egypt. And Pharaoh kind of figured out what was happening. Now, before he took Abraham's wife, he gave him a great sum of money. He gave him a great sum of money. And, you know, and after Abraham received this and things started going wrong, Pharaoh came back to him and said, now, why didn't you tell me that this was your wife? He said, man, get your stuff and get on out the country. You know, I mean, you done brought bad things upon us because you here inside you not just because you're in Egypt, but you're in here with the wrong motives and objectives. Come on, somebody. Do you realize, being a seed of Abraham, that there are certain places that are blessed because you're there? Yeah. Oh, my. Amen. And also because you're a seed of Abraham, there are some things that's cursed because you're there. Yeah. Hallelujah, somebody. There's a blessing and a curse that goes with that, right? So you got to understand, I mean, you got to be in your place for the blessings to flow. Right, but Abraham was not in his place, and as he was down there, the man had paid him all his money. But when he sent Abraham away, he did not ask for the money back. And if you go back and read your Bible, it'll show that Abraham was a very rich man. Oh my! Yes, you know, I like that. I like that because God know how to take your mess and turn it into a blessing. He shouldn't have been down there in the first place. He shouldn't have been selling out his wife. But God still took his mess and turned it into a blessing. God took his doubt and made something great out of it. Now, if Abraham can get that type of blessing, and I'm Abraham's seed, despite my doubts, despite my unbelief, despite all of that, God can still bless. All right, somebody. But, you know, we look at this and, you know, Abraham, Brother Branham tells us that the change that happened in their body, Abraham and Sarah, was a type of what would happen to the faith seed of Abraham. And this is where we come in. He says a man that possesses that faith, the faith that Abraham had, a man that possesses that faith will take God's word regardless of circumstances. Amen. So when you call yourself a seed of Abraham, you're going to have the same faith that Abraham had, right? And regardless of the circumstances, amen, you're going to take God's word over it. All right, look at it. Says, and he said another thing, the prophet says, God will bankrupt heavens before he let his word go defeated. So if you're going to take God at his word, trust and know that thing will come to pass. If he made a promise, it's got to come to pass. He just needs somebody to hold on to the promise until it comes to pass. Amen. So God will bankrupt heavens before he lets his word go defeated.
Hallelujah. Now stay with me here. I just want to read a couple things. Amen. I am doing my best to coast. I'm trying to coast. I got so much I want to say, but I got to coast. I ain't just gonna let it out in two sentences. I ain't going to do it. All right, but let's read this. Amen. He swore by himself. Remember, it happened at Calvary. It happened at Calvary. A sermon here, he swore by himself. It says, God by sovereign election has called Abraham's seed. Then if that type of life that was on the inside of that blood cell was upon Abraham, who called the impossible possible. I like that. You know, in order for you to use the word impossible, you have to include the word possible. Right? So who called the impossible possible? Oh, I wish I had some people, some real seed of Abraham that don't mind calling the impossible possible. Amen. Who called the impossible possible? Call the impossible that they would be because God said so. What kind of people are the seed of Abraham? Listen. Oh, don't miss it. Please don't. I feel it coming from the top of my head. See, he felt his help coming. Amen. Looky, look. Says, then if you are Abraham's seed, you can't dispute with God. Huh? It says Abraham's seed is a part of this spirit. Glory. But God gave Abraham a sign of circumcision, cutting off the flesh for a witness. He had received him in the last days. He has took the Holy Ghost and circumcised every believer of cutting off all doubts and unbelief. To believe God's word is pure and holy, and it's the truth. Circumcision, cutting away all unbelief. Everything cutting loose, every shoreline saying, God, I believe you. Live or die, sink or drown. It's your word, I believe it. Then see what I mean. See, now this is the way the seed of Abraham got approached, saying, you don't reason with God. Right? The seed of Abraham don't even look at circumstances. They don't look at nothing but what God's word say. That's the way we're supposed to operate as a seed of Abraham. Let's go on a little bit further. God provided a lamb. This is a sermon here Brother Branham preached, and he says this. Says, now if Abraham believed God because God said so. Amen. I'm not believing God based on how I feel. I'm not believing God based on what my doctor said. Amen. I'm believing God because God said so. Listen, says now Abraham believed God because God said so. Then we, being Abraham's seed, we have the same type of faith Abraham had. Cause God called Abraham by election. How did he call you? By election. The only way you could be called is by election. No man can come to me except my Father calls him first. God does the electing, then you just follow. Listen, and then if he called you, and all that comes to me, I'll give them everlasting life, and will in no wise cast them out and raise them up in the last day. Those who he foreknew, he is called. Those who is called, he is justified. Those who he justified, he is glorified. That's God's word. I love it because I can put my confidence in it, and I believe it and know that it's the truth. So, you know, we look at Abraham, amen, and some things there in his life. And I want to kind of take you over to a scripture here really quick over to Romans 4. Just follow me there. Amen. If we're Abraham's seed, then we have to have the same type of faith that Abraham had. If we're Abraham's seed, then we have to have the same type of faith that Abraham had. Romans 4 tells us the type of faith that Abraham had. Praise the Lord. Let me, you know, as you're getting that, amen. And if any of you have read the life story of Abraham, you will know that Abraham, you know, we look at him as like, well, you know, this man seemed like he had a lot of doubt, not really a lot of faith, right? You look at some of the things, like I just mentioned Genesis 12, the story of him and Pharaoh. The man gave his wife to another man because he was afraid that his life was going to be taken. That don't sound like faith to me. Amen. I'm just being honest. That don't sound like faith to me. You know, and even though God turned the thing around and had it work in his favor, it just didn't look like faith. That looked like doubt. right? He got kicked out of the land. And, you know, later on, you know, God had given him a promise that he was going to have a son by, you know, his wife, Sarah. And, you know, and Abraham doubted that. Sarah doubted it. And then Abraham doubted, and Sarah came up with a suggestion. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know how we do it sometimes. We got ways to help God out. God don't need your help. He can do it all by himself. Amen, right? But, you know, Sarah began to doubt the promise. Like, me, as old as I am, have a baby. I ain't had a baby in all these years. Come on, now, I ain't going to have no. Say, I tell you what, Abraham, why don't you take Hagar, you know, my maid, and make her your wife, and, you know, and then you can have a child by her, and then we'll just receive that as our child. So Abraham went right along with the plan, but that was not what God intended. Right? You know, that was never God's intention. I got to say something right in there. Hallelujah. Now, you know, even though, amen, Ishmael was a seed of Abraham, he wasn't the promised seed. And, you know, even today, even there in Israel, you got some of Ishmael's descendants that live right in Jerusalem claiming some of the same land that God gave to the Israelites. It's a big war. I mean, little fighting, little things that happen there, you know, but you know, with all of that happening, you know, Ishmael and his descendants, he did say Abraham would be the father of nations. So it was a fulfillment of the word, but Ishmael was not the promised seed. Now, I'm going to go a little further with that. Because, you know, we got this thing now, and I think Brother Smiley hit this while he was here. We got this thing now where people are applying reasoning to the word rather than revelation. Yeah. And some of the reasons, like, well, you know, can God... honestly, if a person just don't know the truth, will God let them miss the rapture? You know, if they just never heard the truth? Now, you don't know whether they know the truth or not. You're just applying reasoning to it. You don't know if they've heard the truth or not. But I had to respond to somebody here recently and say, because they were saying that, because we always preach that if you're not in this message, if you're not following this message, you're not going to be ready for no rapture. I say amen to that. And most people say, now, how can you say that? I say, well, it's real simple. It's very simple. Let's go back, because the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Right. Now, you tell me, the people that refused to follow the message of Noah, what happened? Amen. Now, whose fault was it? God's fault or their fault? Right. They refused to follow the message of Noah. Right. And there was only one message. It's going to rain. Right. God gave it to one man. Now, there was other preachers in the land in that day, but there was one message with one man, and they had to follow that message. That's not the only time it happened. It was preachers in the days of Moses and miracle workers. Janus and Jambres were miracle workers. And here they come, and Moses come up with a message. His message was, you better put this blood on your door. Put it at the top and on the sides. And everybody that don't follow the message that came through Moses. What happened to him? Death. So it's very easy for people. If God don't change his pattern. And then all of what I'm telling you is that, see, the seed of the bond woman is not heir with the seed of the married wife. Not heir. That's what the Bible says. And I got quotes to prove it. Brother Branham said that the rapture is what separates it. So I ain't going to take no chance. You know, I mean, I'm not going to apply reason, take a chance. But not, you know what? Here's what I'll tell you. They could get eternal life, but they might have to come through a tribulation. But rapture is for the bride. Not for the church. Bride. I know folk don't like hearing that. But you better go back and ask some of the people in Noah's day what happened to them. All right. Glory to God. We got to stay with this word. All right. As a seed of Abraham, all we do is look to the word. Now, let me I was saying that, you know, when you look at Abraham's life, there's multiple things that you can look at. How he gave his wife to Pharaoh, how he went in there and had a baby by Hagar. That was never really God's perfect will, permissive, not perfect. Praise the Lord. Right. But, you know, he entered into the permissive will of God and God allowed that to happen. Right. You know, but also when Abraham, when God visited him, and then he still turned around and went down to Abimelech. There was another famine in the land. And see, this is what happened when things don't seem to go to, we feel a little uncomfortable about where we are. Then that's when we start to try to help God out. But that's where our faith is supposed to get rooted and grounded. Right. But you know, when things got a little uncomfortable for Abraham, then he took off down there amongst to Gerar amongst Abimelech. And, you know, Abimelech, you know, just sitting there praying and asking God for a wife. And this man show up and he tell him, now tell the man that I'm your brother. Now, he done went through this before. He knew what happened. But just tell the man that I'm your brother. Now, don't tell him I'm your husband because they're going to kill me. He's reasoning. Don't do that. Right. So here, you know, when he say, now, all right, they get down there and Abimelech like, Lord, I've been praying for a wife. Look at this man. Now he start inquiring. Now, who is she? You know, who are y'all? Where y'all come from? What's, you know, so we ain't never seen a woman like this. You know, where? Well, you know, she's my sister. You know, this is. And yeah. OK, well, you know what? She just decided like to have her for a wife. You can have her. This man. Abraham, not a seed of Abraham, but Abraham himself just gave up his wife a second time to another man. And you know what? And it was the reason. Hallelujah. The reason that the man could not touch Sarah. Before he could lay a hand, God gave him a dream and say, don't touch that man's wife. So in the dream, he's having a conversation with God. Saying, now, Lord, he told me that was his sister. So, no, don't you touch that man's wife. That man's a liar. That man said, no, after you get a man back his wife, restore back to him, then I want him to pray for you. Abimelech said, now, the man just lied. You know my heart. I got integrity. This man ain't got no integrity. He's a liar. So, no, he's not a liar. He's a prophet. And I want you to humble yourself. Go to the liar. Go down to the liar and let the liar pray for you. Now something that the Lord just gave me this morning in prayer. You know, you look at all these things, man. This guy's a doubter. He's not a man of faith. He's a man of doubt. When you just read it. From you know, not even spiritual insight, just reading it, and you look and say, this man is full of doubt. But he's recorded a different way in Romans 4. Paul records his story a little different way. He don't talk about his doubt. He talk about his faith. Yes, sir. Amen. Why would Paul talk about Abraham's faith when you can see clearly in Scripture that he's a man of doubt? Let's read it. Before we read Romans 4, let's go to Genesis 12. Let the scripture answer the questions. Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3, it says this. It says, now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, when we look at that, what this is actually called is the unconditional covenant. So what I want you to understand is later on in chapter 12, he went down to Egypt. All right. Also over in Genesis 16, that's where he got with Hagar. Later on in his life, Genesis 20, he went to Abimelech, right, and had his wife restored. But before those trials came upon Abraham, God had already given him an unconditional covenant. So no matter what Abraham did, The covenant was unconditional. It was not based upon Abraham. It was based upon God. I like that, church, because no matter what you do, the covenant is not based on your choices. It's based on God's election. That's why Paul can take them in Romans 4 and start calling other qualities out, because he's looking at Abraham the way God sees Abraham. See, I heard somebody, you know, say one time that, you know, Abram did certain things, but Abraham didn't. No, Abraham doubted too. Abraham doubted too. But even, you know, not only the covenant with Abraham, but because Sarah's a part of Abraham, she's covered in that same covenant. Yes, that even when God showed up at a house and she laughed in God's face, God did not strike her dead. Because the covenant was unconditional. Yes, sir. Amen. Thank God I'm covered. Amen. Thank God I'm covered. Woo! Glory, 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 glory. Can we go to Romans 4 now? Because if you are a seed of Abraham, then you're going to have the same type of faith that Abraham had. And the devil sometime going to tell you, you ain't got no faith. But I'm under unconditional covenant. Right. And the other thing that you got to understand about your faith, sometimes your faith get weak and you run out. But do you know that when your faith is not what it needs to be, that God is able to give you his faith? Amen. If you go back and you read the story of the man that was healed at the gate called Beautiful in the book of Acts, right? The scripture says that Jesus' faith drop down in that man and cause that man to believe the word. Brother Brandon brought it out in the Church Age book. Jesus' faith came into that man. So sometimes when I pray, say, Lord, my faith is running out. Give me your faith. Yes, sir. Because your faith will never run out. Amen. Your faith cannot deny your word. Amen. Your faith goes beyond circumstances and situations. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at this. Romans 4. Now, we're going to read this, but I want to point out 7 things here that I see that Abraham had. Amen. These are 7 qualities of his faith. Okay, let's start here at verse 16. It says, therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham. Listen, who is the father of us all? Amen. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now, what Paul is doing is he's including everybody. When he says father of us all, he's not only talking to the Jews. Gentiles are included here. Right? It says, as it is written, I have made thee the father of many nations before him, whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. That's the first thing that will happen with a true seed of Abraham. They will call things that be not as though they were. Yes, sir. I like that. I want to use a testimony. Just kind of come to me. Me and Brother Jimmy was kind of sharing on something. And as we were talking, you know, Brother Jimmy say, sometimes God will show you something in another realm. He can show it to you by a dream. He can show you that it's sitting there in another realm. He says, but your faith has got to pull it from that realm and put it in this realm. Your faith can do that. If he showed it to you, that means it is for you. Now, oftentimes, God don't tell you what you're going to have to go through before you get it. Just like he didn't show Joseph what he had to go through before he saw his family coming bowing down before him. But if he shows it to you, it's in that realm. And you got to go with your faith, pull it out of that realm, and bring it right here, present tense. Woo, Jesus. See, so one of the ways that you do that is you call things that be not. That means it ain't this way right now. But I'm going to make it this way by the way I talk about it. You know the right mental attitude towards any divine promise will do what? Bring it to pass. Your attitude will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. I don't care how impossible it seems. Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. Let's go on. We talk about if we're going to call ourselves the seed of Abraham, Abraham's faith seed, right? There are qualities that should go along with our faith. Now, the first one is a man who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. That's number one. Amen. The second thing was who against hope believed in hope. Now, you know, you just kind of look at that when the song we just sang, I was a hopeless case, right? I mean, it just seemed like there was nothing could happen here. When Abraham looked at Sarah's body, it was impossible for her to bring forth a child. Impossible, right? Not only her body, but his body. Impossible for them to do this. But even though he's against hope, he still believes in hope. That's a second quality. Look at this. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So he's, just because the word said so, even though it looked hopeless, but the word said so, he still believed in hope. All right, listen. Glory to God. You know, there, Brother Branham said there's a couple of ways that we can approach God. Sometimes we have a vision or what we call thus saith the Lord. You know, and if it's somebody give you thus saith the Lord, it just kind of settles your spirit. And once you're settled, no matter what anybody else say, you're going on with that. No matter how long it take, you're going to go along with that thus saith the Lord that you have. He said there's another way that we approach God. He says sometimes it's revelation, right, that God will speak. You might read something in the Bible. You might hear something preach, and wow, that revelation striking you going off that personal revelation that God gave you. He said, but sometimes it's just hope. Right. And so it says hope is like, you know, I know what God can do. I've heard that he's done it before and I believe he can do the same thing for you. You're approaching it with that type of hope. Nothing wrong with that. But now when it comes to faith, it's not I know what God can do. No, I know what he's doing for me right now. It's not what he can do. This is what he promised me right now. Praise the Lord. So but Abraham, he was against hope. Believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Listen, and being not weak in faith, this is number three, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. What if this man is looking at his body and how impossible it would be for his body to bring forth a child, he's saying that now, he refused to look at his own body. That's number three. Well, the fourth thing that he did, not only did he not look at his body, the Bible say, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's. Well, I'm not looking at my condition. I'm not looking at your condition. I'm not looking at any conditions. I'm looking at the promise of God. Oh, I'm talking to the faith seed of Abraham this morning. This is the type of faith that you got to have if you're going to see God move. And I told you about all the doubt that we can go back in scripture and read, but the reason that Paul did not address the doubt is because Abraham was underneath the unconditional covenant. Look, let's go on. Number five, we see this. It's he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. I like that. Staggered not. You can't be double-minded when it comes to the word of God. You have to say only what the word says. Do only what the word requires you to do. Don't stagger. He said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Number six, this is one that you need, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So why are you in the midst of whatever you're going through? I don't care how hard it is. You're going to have to start learning how to praise God before it happens. You got to learn how to praise him. While you, it might be tough as I don't know what, but you got to learn how to praise God. You can tell when some people are going through. It's just all over their face. It's just all over them. Like, you know they're going through. You can just see it. Look at this. But seed of Abraham don't act that way. Abraham wouldn't walk around down and, you know, no. God made me a promise. I'm going to have a son. And, I mean, I could just imagine going back and forth to the doctor. Let's check my wife out. See if, sir, please don't have us run that test again. Every time we run the test, the insurance company, is there anything else you can do to check my wife out? Because she's expecting. Sir, please, would you please stop this, sir? It's nonsense. I can just imagine somebody saying, you know, okay, well, today it didn't show nothing on the test. Next month we come, it'll be there. That's his faith. Just, I mean, okay, it didn't happen now, but it'll be there. It'll be because God said so. Amen. God cannot lie.
That's right,
amen. So as Abraham just kept approaching that way, then he saw God move in such a way. That man's faith is what brought that thing to pass.
Amen.
Look at it. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So in the midst of his trial, he's still worshiping. And look, this is the seventh one, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, this is not something I made up. God told me this. And I'm fully persuaded that what he has promised me, he is able also to perform. See, I mean, as the seed of Abraham, these are some of the qualities that you must have when you're approaching your trials and your tribulations. And don't worry, church, about the doubt, because you got an unconditional covenant. And God not even considering your doubt. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's go on a little further. I want to read, amen, from a sermon here. Jehovah Jireh, part one. This is on the front page there of my notes back there. Jehovah Jireh, part one. Brother Branham says this now. There had been two covenants. It says one of them was the Adam covenant. God made a covenant with man. If you will, I will. And he broke it, right? He wasn't supposed to eat from the tree, but he broke the covenant. He ate from that tree, the tree of knowledge, good and evil. It says, then God made a covenant with Noah, and that was the Noah covenant, and it was broke. Now, the covenant with Noah is that he wasn't going to destroy, you know, the earth with rain anymore. He wasn't going to do that, and he put the rainbow in the cloud to show that I won't do that anymore. That's a sign from God that covenant is still in effect every time you see a rainbow. Praise the Lord, in the sky. Now, I know other people put rainbows on their cars and rainbows other places, and it don't mean what the Bible said it mean. Praise the Lord. But that was a covenant. Now the reason God gave that covenant to Noah, right, is because because the earth was so full of sin, God had to destroy the earth, and he made a covenant, say, Noah, now if you just keep my word, this is what I'm going to do. But as soon as Noah got the covenant, soon as Noah came off the ark, Noah got drunk. That's why the covenant is broken again. God can't trust no man with nothing, but he can trust himself.
Amen.
Look at it. So when he got to Abraham, listen. See, now he's making an Abrahamic covenant, and the Abrahamic covenant, according to Genesis, the 12th chapter, it was given unconditionally. Therefore, it's eternal. Because it's unconditional. Not if you will, I will. He said, I have. I've already done it. Not I will do it. I have done it. That basis faith. See, now God is determined to save man. He make a covenant. If you will, I will. He break it. Another one. You will, I will. He broke it. Man can't keep his covenant. So God saves man by his grace under a covenant that's unconditional covenant. Oh my, never ending. That was all of it. Three perfect. Adam, Noah, and Abraham. Now that's the reason we are Abraham's children. The covenant cannot be ended, never end, because it's unconditionally. It isn't because you do something, it's because God did something. Not because you chose God, God chose you. Do you believe that?
Amen.
I thank God for the unconditional covenant. I want to go a little further here. Let's see. Let's read this quote, and then I want to go back to Genesis 22. This is out of Israel in the church. It's now then we find that we watch in the shadows now. We find then God give us example, Christ in every one of the patriarchs. Or down through the age in Abraham, God had election in Isaac, justification, calling. God called Isaac even before he was born. Gave him his name, everything, just like he did Jesus. Then I noticed Isaac perfectly. We didn't have time to catch it, but did you notice Isaac, the only son of his father? Now, that's what God told Abraham, take Isaac, thy only son. Did not even acknowledge Ishmael. All right. Says we didn't have time to catch it, but did you notice Isaac, the only son of his father, through promise, packed the wood up the same hill, loaded, tied his hands, offered up as a sacrifice, and when he started to take his own son's life, Abraham, a little animal bladed, a little sheep ram hooked, caught in the wilderness by his horns, and the Holy Spirit crying from heaven, stay thy hand. And he went and got the lamb and offered it in his stead, which was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There you are. Beautiful picture. Now let's go back to Genesis 22 and let's just pick this story up in scripture. I know many of you all are familiar with it. Amen. Abraham did this. Now, I want to, as we're picking this up, there were many tests and trials that Abraham went through. But when he come to this, spot, Brother Branham say this was Abraham's final test. And as believers, there will come a time where we will reach our final tests, right? We have many tests and trials that lead up to the final tests. Praise the Lord. So here Abraham is at the final test. Glory to God. Amen. And let's pick up, what's going on here. It says, verse 1 says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now, what that means is it's a trial. It's a test. It's not God actually trying to make him do something that he shouldn't do. Right. It's just a trial. That's all. So because we know the scriptures say that God don't tempt us. Right. But when you read this in scripture, you got to make sure you're applying it the proper way. It's a trial. It's a trial that God's allowing to come into Abraham's life. It says, and he's leading him to do it. Now, God has purpose for this trial. Can I tell you something? Every trial that you're going through, God has purpose for it. Don't run from it. Run to it. Be like David. Don't be like Saul. Don't run from it. Run to it. Hallelujah. Knowing that you're covered with a promise. So it says, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. See how he said it? Thine only son, not even acknowledging Ishmael. Said, take thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee. Now get into Moriah, and when you get there, there's going to be a particular mountain that I'm going to tell you to go to. And when you get to that mountain, that's where I want you to offer Isaac. Hallelujah. And when I got to Israel, I come to find out, amen, that the area where Abraham was led to was the exact same area where Jesus himself died. I said, wow. I said, wait a minute. So you telling me that God will have Abraham go through this great trial of taking his only son up there because God knew 2,000 years later that he himself would be on the same mountain. See that, when I just read that quote, I just read it real quick. I didn't stop. But on the quote, Brother Branham said, we didn't have time to catch it, but did you notice Isaac, the only son of his father through promise, packed the wood up the same hill? Glory to God. Isaac packed the wood up the same hill that Jesus himself died upon. This is something that happened at Calvary. Oh my God. See, when I look at that, this is why Brother Ram said the Bible come a new Bible to you. Right? Because you look at this, wait a minute, now let's look at this whole story and look at what's going on. Come on, let's keep reading. And now, you know, Jesus was offered on this same mountain. The same mountain. When you get there, because we get into Jerusalem and say, this is Mount Moriah. I say, this is Mount Moriah? I say, yeah, this, where Temple Mount is, this is Mount Moriah. There's other things that happen. I can't share all that today. I'll share that later. Say, but this is Mount Moriah. This is it. I say, what? See, being a Bible reader, you know, wait a minute. Abraham took Isaac to Mount Moriah. See, that's right. And I say, now, where is Calvary? So it's about a 4-minute walk in another direction. So that let me know in the same area. If it's a 4-minute walk, that's pretty close. That was the same area that God told Abraham, bring your son here and offer him. No, 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 no. I'm not just making these things up, Abraham. I'm using your life. I'm using your son's life to type something that's going to be so great for humankind. It happened at Calvary. God could have told Abraham to go any other place, but no, 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 no. He didn't call it Calvary in Genesis. It's just Moriah. Bring him to Moriah. But God knew that would be Calvary. Let's go. It says this. It says, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, how long was Jesus in the grave? How long was Jesus in the grave? 3 days. He was up. So here Abraham on the third day spots this place. Look at, said, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. It says, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, I did do a Google search because I wanted to know how far it was to walk from Beersheba to Jerusalem. I wanted to know how far that was. And according to Google, it would take about 19 hours and so many minutes for you to get from Beersheba to Jerusalem. So I'm like, well, why would it take him 3 days? God knew what he was doing. Because you don't know what Abraham might have been going through that first day. He might have been thinking about turning around and go back home. Lord, this ain't you, God. Mm-mm. No, I can't believe this. No. And Sarah here, I did something like this. I can't even go back home, right? You can imagine what he's going through. God have to work through all of that. But then when he finally get him to a spot like, okay, I'm ready to do this. On the third day, he allowed him to see the place. And it's like, that's where I want you to go. Abraham not knowing what that place was, what it represented in the future, but God knew all things. Look at it. It says, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He's speaking by faith. He knows that God has told him to offer this boy, but by faith, I'm coming back. Oh, my. Hallelujah. That means it would have had to take a resurrection for Abraham to get Isaac back. It took a resurrection for us to get Jesus back. Look. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering. You see, now you can see Jesus carrying that cross, right? Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Listen, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Boy, I tell you what, Isaac had been a part of some of these ceremonies before, so he knows it's supposed to be a lamb somewhere. So he say, now, Daddy, I see this and I see that, but where is the lamb? Right. Now, look at what Abraham says in verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Brother Solomon helped me see that a little clearer a few years ago, and he said, notice it say God will provide himself, not for himself. No, God himself gonna be the lamb. And it hit me even more when I got to Israel, because I realized if Jesus died in the same spot where Isaac was about to die, God certainly provided himself. Woo, Jesus. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. For a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. That was so prophetic what Abraham spoke there. 2,000 years later, the same mountain, God provided himself. They came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Isaac was a willing sacrifice. The same way Jesus was a willing sacrifice. Look at it. It says, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven. Now, say, why didn't God stop him before that? God just wanted to see how serious he was. And maybe some things that you're going through, God wants to see how committed you are before he actually brings deliverance. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called on Abraham out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. It says, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram. Why ram? Because a ram is a male lamb, which is a perfect type of Jesus Christ. Right. And a lamb is an animal that just yields itself. Christ yielded himself to go to that cross. Right. I mean, when you look at these things, you see Jesus all through the story. And it's one thing, you know, I saw all the types before, but it meant a lot more to me when I realized it was the same mountain. It was the same mountain. It's some faraway place. No, right there in Jerusalem, God said, I want you to bring your son in the mountain, and I'm going to tell you, offer him right there, because God knew that he was coming 2,000 years later to offer himself on the same mountain. Brother Branham said, where did that ram come from? Where? He said, it came out of eternity. Came into existence and went right back out. Jesus came from his throne in eternity. Came into existence, went right back out. I come from God and I'm going back to God. You know, I can just borrow his words. I'm just here temporarily, y'all. I come from God. And I'm going back to God. Amen. Let's keep reading. Glory to God. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. You know all the stuff that you done did, you should have died. You know you should have died. But somebody been offered in your stead. It happened at Calvary. My. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. See, now you know what? We get excited when God provides for our needs. Oh, he's Jehovah Jireh. But the greatest need you had was to get your sin fixed. And he fixed it. That's the true Jehovah Jireh. He took on our sin and we took on his righteousness. That's what makes him Jehovah Tiskanu. Come on, church. Listen, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called on Abraham out of the heaven the second time.
and said, by myself I have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. In verse 19, so Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Church, I was just absolutely blessed. But, you know, that promise is so so real. When God told Abraham, you know, to do what he did, he was typing out the life, amen, of Christ right down to the mountain. Right down to the very mountain it was typed down. So, you know, when you look at, I mean, everything that God does is very specific. It's not just doing it just because. Very specific. And I love this promise that he gave Abraham. Because you did this, Abraham, in blessing I will bless thee. It says, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. If you are a daughter, son of God, amen, through Christ you have become Abraham's seed, and guess what? You're supposed to possess the gate of your enemy. Now, you know, a gate is something that allows entrance. Or it could block entrance, or it could allow entrance. Now, what it is that God has certain things, amen, that he's promised you, but the devil has come to try to block those things from coming to you. If you're sick in your body, it's not God's will, amen, for you to be there. He said in his word, it was his will for you to be in good health and to prosper even as your soul prospers, right? Amen. If you're going through in your finances, he said he will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Amen. These are the things that God promised you, but the devil puts up gates to try to block you from receiving what God has for you. And you got to understand, as a seed of Abraham, no matter what the gate is, I don't care how big the gate is. Amen. God told you that as a seed of Abraham, you shall possess every gate of your enemy. Sickness is a gate? Possess. Finances is a gate? Possess. You're going to have to fight for it, but you will possess it. You, amen. It is a promise from Almighty God. You will possess that gate. Hallelujah, church. But you got to have the faith that Abraham had, called things that be not as though they were. I mean, sometimes you might have to march around your gates. Huh? You might have to march around for 7 days. And then on the seventh day, march seven times. Right? I mean, you might have to do some, your strategies may change. It depends on the gate that you're up against. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. But no matter what strategy God gives you, ultimately, you're going to possess the gate. Yes, sir. Oh, we had some people that had some faith like Abraham. They looked at situations and circumstances and said, no, I'm going to take what God say. You know, when Moses got to the Red Sea, God told him to take the people to the promised land. The Red Sea, that was just the Red Sea. That's all it is. It's not how I'm going to get through. I can't tell you that. I ain't never seen this before. But God going to do something that he ain't never done before. And they saw when and Moses went crying to God. Oh, my. How many of us doing that? Lord, what should I do? No. God said, Moses, God looked at Moses and said, no, I told you what to do. You take care of this. This ain't my problem. This is your problem. You fix it. How you going to fix it? Open up your mouth and let the words that come out of your mouth create what needs to happen. We need to understand who we are. We hear this all the time, but one day we're going to start walking in this. I mean, really walking in it, taking control of your environment, taking any spirit that exalts itself against God's spirit that's dwelling on the inside of me. I'm taking that spirit. That's why I just love how the prophet handled things. Every spirit in here, I'm taking the spirit underneath my control. He didn't do that just because he was a prophet. He did that because he was a son of God. And you're a son of God and a daughter of God. You got the same authority and the same power. Every spirit
I take underneath the control of my spirit.
Amen. See, we're gonna possess the gates. You know, because they had the faith that Abraham had, they could look at things. Moses could look at that Red Sea and say, you know, I'm not bothered by this Red Sea. God told me to take these people across, so he took his rod and just stretched it, and the Red Sea began to part, and they walked across on dry land. That was overcoming or possessing the gate of his enemy. That was something that was blocking them from entrance into the promised land. The fiery furnace, the Hebrew boys, they possessed that gate. And I said, now look, we know our God is able to deliver us, but if he choose not to, we just want you to know we are not bowing to serve you. When they got there, the strong men that was binding them and took them and threw them in the fire, the strong men died. But the Hebrew boys just had their bands loose and they were just in there rejoicing with the fourth man. Because they possess the gate of their enemy. Amen. The lion's den. They tried to stop Daniel from praying. No. Even being in a foreign land, they couldn't stop him from praying. Right. And when they threw him in a lion's den, he overcame the lions. He possessed the gate of his enemies. When Goliath was making his big boast down there in Israel, trying to have the children of Israel operate under fear. Y'all got some Goliaths y'all facing. And the devil trying to get you to operate under fear. No. Understand God gave you a promise that you're supposed to possess the gate of your enemy. I don't care how big Goliath is. They had a saying, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Amen. And David possessed the gate of the enemy. Amen. Joshua, I was there, was driving down the street in Israel. And the tour guide said, over there to the right is Ajalon. Ajalon? Do you know what Ajalon is in the scripture? That's the place where Joshua was having a battle and needed more time. The day wasn't long enough. So Joshua, a man, did something that had never been done before. Moon, hang there. Sun, stand still. And it did. The sun obeyed the voice of a man. You want to know why? Because God was dwelling in that man. Right. And that man was a seed of Abraham that could possess the gate of his enemies. Right. Church, I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what you're facing. Because of Calvary, you got victory. Let me finish. Oh, my God. Let's read this last quote here, possessing the gates of the enemy after trial. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It says, now I wish we had time to get more heroes. But I got about 10 minutes. Now look, all these precious heroes as they were, great warriors of faith, they all died at the gate of death. They all perished right at the gate of death. Then come along the royal seed of Abraham. They were all the natural seed from Isaac. But here come the royal seed of Abraham, which was Christ, Abraham's seed of faith. What we're supposed to be, just see how, whether we are or not. The natural seed only was a type. All others was born of a natural birth, but he come a virgin birth. See, that wasn't the seed of Abraham, then a Jew. He come by the seed of faith of the promise, and then we're supposed to be his children through this man. Watch what he did. When he was on earth, he conquered and possessed every gate the enemy had. And remember our scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Listen, it says, watch what he did. When he was on earth, he conquered and possessed every gate the enemy had. The royal seed, he promised it by the word, he conquered it. He conquered the gate of sickness for us. I love that. See, the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. And with his stripes we're healed. Right? He conquered the gate of sickness for us. That's what he come to do. He remembers sick people. He conquered that gate. You don't have to conquer it. He conquered it. The other men had to conquer their own gate. But you don't have to conquer it. It's already conquered. He conquered the gate of sickness. And what did he do when he conquered the gates of sickness? Saying that he would, whatever you ask on earth, whatever you bind on earth, he would bind it in heaven. Give us the keys to the gate. If you got keys to the gate, why don't you just open it up and go on in? sit on the outside of the gate looking. You got the keys to the gate. Jesus at Calvary gave you keys.
Yes, sir.
Whatever it is that the devil is blocking, you ain't even got, oh my God. Just get it, just right, get out the way, Satan. Unlock, go right on in and enjoy. See, the devil making you think he got keys. That thing he got hanging on his, that you ever see people walk around with a bunch of keys? They don't know what they go to. It's just a bunch of keys. They want to feel important with all them keys. The keys ain't going nowhere. You got locks. That's a key to a lock you had in the seventh grade. You don't even have that locker no more. Somebody else owned that locker. Get rid of it. You don't need all that, right? Praise the Lord, somebody. Jesus gave you the keys. The devil don't have no keys. Jesus took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from the devil. He ain't even got keys to his own house. Come on, church. We got to recognize who we are as seed of Abraham through Christ. Take the keys. Open up whatever you need access to and go in there and get it. Pull it from that realm. Put it in this realm. You have authority as sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah, somebody. My, my, my. We got to recognize these things, church. Right? Glory to God. Look at that. He said he conquered it. He conquered the gates of sickness, saying that he would, whatever you ask on earth, whatever you bind on earth, he would bind in heaven. Give us the keys to the gate. He conquered the gate of temptation. Y'all just don't know. It's harder. Even Brother Branham said it's going to be it's 10 times harder in this generation than it was in any other generation. How y'all know them quotes? And if it was 10 times worse in that generation, think about how hard it is today. You know, they also had so much of God for that day. But we say, when Brother Branham said, when all hell is turned loose, he said, all heaven is also turned loose. And you'll never convince me that the devil got more power than God. I can actually tell you the devil has no power. Because Jesus said all power was given to him. Hallelujah. Listen, he conquered the gate of temptation by the word. And it says, and the keys was resist the enemy and he'll flee from me. That's the key. Can I just work with just a little bit? I'm going to get out y'all way in a second. But some of us young people, you know, we're going through temptations and things like that. But you're not doing nothing to resist the devil. My daddy said something. I'll always remember it. We were in the old church. There was a young man. We had a neighbor there. They were selling clothes. And one day, a young man came into the church, and he just wanted prayer. And we prayed with him. And he was battling cigarettes, smoking cigarettes all the time. And my daddy said, well, yeah, I used to battle the same thing. He said, well, how did you overcome that? How did you overcome that? See, because my dad had fought with cigarettes for years. But so he asked him, how did you overcome that? He said, well, the Bible says if you resist the devil, he'll flee. And then, so the guy thinking, well, oh, mind over matter. No. Resist the devil and he'll flee. That's all the Bible say. So the guy just couldn't wrap his head around. So my dad said, okay, now you're a much bigger man than I am, and you're also a lot younger than I am. So if you walked up to me and you just pushed me, and I wasn't prepared for it, you probably pushed me right on down. He says, but if I was prepared for it and I could brace myself, so you would push me and there'd be a little resistance. And because of that little resistance. Just that show you how weak the devil is. If you just offer the devil a little. Now you ain't got to do nothing great. Just little resistance. Because the Bible says you resist the devil. He take off running from you. Devil say, that's a bad boy. That's a bad girl. I can't do nothing with them. Just a little resistance
will put the devil on the run.
No, you ain't got no excuse for being defeated. None. Because Jesus conquered temptation. Look. He conquered the gate of temptation by the word. And the keys was resist the enemy and he'll flee from you. He conquered it all, conquered every sickness. He conquered death and he conquered hell. He conquered death and hell. He conquered what the others couldn't conquer because they're of the natural seed. This is the spiritual seed. He conquered the gate of the grave and rose up on the third day for our justification. And now we are more than conquerors. We're just walk right into it as an inheritance. I like that. More, than, you know, when you're walking right into something as an inheritance, you realize you didn't work for that. You never went to work for that. You didn't do nothing. You just happened to be born in the right family. It's favor. I didn't ask for this. I didn't pray. I just was born in the right family. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I've been born in the family of God. Amen. Look, this is the spiritual city. Conquered the gate of the grave. It rose up on the third day for our justification. Now we're more than conquerors. We just walk right into it as an inheritance, more than conquerors. Now we're all dealing with a defeated enemy. Sickness is defeated. Death is defeated. Hell is defeated. Everything is defeated. It says, oh my, wish I was twice my size. Now maybe I feel twice as good. We are disputing with a conquered enemy. I heard somebody say, in order for you to get down on the devil's level and talk to him, you actually have to get pretty low because Satan is actually underneath your feet. Amen. And if you're sitting there arguing with something that's underneath your feet, right, you done lost all sense of who you are.
Yes, sir.
Church, I tell you what, I'm just grateful, you know, for what the Lord is done for me at Calvary. Amen. And when you look at, you know, all the other patriarchs that come along, and many of them had defeated the enemy in their day. They were possessors of the gates of the enemy in their day. Now it's our turn. And in this hour, we're going to also be possessors of the gate of the enemy. No matter what comes in our direction, we can do that because we are who we are through Christ. Only through Christ. But when you look at them, and they defeated all that, but each one went down in death. Each one, right? Waited for a resurrection. But today, you know, we don't worry, amen, about that. We have a promise that even if we were to die before our Lord return, there's a promise in us that our bones are going to be quickened. Our bodies will be changed. Amen. And we, which are alive and remain, will be caught up together with them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we don't fear death as believers. There's no fear when it comes to death. Amen. If that's what God wanted from me, then praise God. I'm still going to make it. It's a win-win situation. Praise the Lord. But church is only because of what Christ did at Calvary. And just going back, just want to show you just everything that happened in Abraham's life with Isaac, when he was offering Isaac, God had very specific reason for doing that, because the same mountain that he caused Isaac to walk up with that wood on his back was the same mountain that Christ would become and die for our sins. What a mighty God we serve. And some other things happened at Calvary. I'll talk to you about them in a few weeks. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We just look at the life of Abraham. We look at the life of Isaac, the promised son. But we see, Father, Christ in the midst of both of their lives.
We see you, Lord. And if we could look back in their lives and see how you were manifesting yourself in and through them, help us to realize that the tests and trials that we're facing are also things, Lord, that you want to use to manifest yourself in and through us. Help us to have the same faith that Abraham had. Lord, the Bible says that he called things that be not as though they were. It says when he was against hope, he still believed in hope. It says he wasn't weak in faith. He considered not his own body. Lord, he didn't even consider Sarah's body. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And that's why we got to have the right mental attitude. No matter what we're going through, we're still going to worship. We're still going to praise. Job did that. When he was going through some tremendous trials, Job bowed his face to the ground and he began to worship. So, Lord, when the people are going through, Father, when we're all going through, don't let us stay away from church. But God, that's the time that we really got to get into the house of God. And we got to give you praise. That's what you require of us. Lord, he was fully persuaded that what you promised him, you were able to perform. And God, that's exactly what you want from us. That if you make the promise, and even when we pray, we can't hear your voice. We pray, we can't feel your spirit. We pray, God, and just things just don't seem to be right. That's when we have to be certain of God. That the God that made the promise to us will bring it to pass. So help us, Lord, to have faith and to only believe. No matter what, only believe. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Turn around and tell somebody, you are more than a conqueror. More. Remember Brother Darrell Ward, and he came and he was sharing about that more than a conqueror. Talked about how Muhammad Ali would go and he would get in the ring, man, and he would just box. He would maybe, defeat his opponent, but, you know, he took a lot of licks himself, you know, in defeating that opponent. And he would get his check at the end, you know, of his fight and go home to Mrs. Muhammad Ali. And he would just give the check to his wife. And when she take that check and she cash it, she never fought one round, never took one lick, but she was considered more than a conqueror, right? Because she got the results from the battle. And church, guess what? We got the results from what Jesus did at Calvary. We're more than conquerors. The kingdom of God is within me. I know no defeat, only victory. The kingdom of God is within me. I know no defeat, only strength and power. I'm a conqueror, victorious. I'm reigning with Jesus. I'm seated in heavenly places. With him, oh, the kingdom of God is within me. I know no defeat, only victory. Say, the kingdom of God is within me. I know no defeat, only strength and power. I'm a conqueror, victorious. I'm reigning with Jesus, and I'm seated in heavenly places with him. Oh, the kingdom of God
is within me. I know, no defeat, only victory. Yea, the kingdom of God. Yay. Hallelujah. Come on, say, the kingdom of God is within me. I know. Yay, the kingdom. Oh, I know no defeat, only strength and power. I'm a conqueror.
Brother Solomon.
Yes, I'm reigning. Yeah, with Jesus. Oh, I'm seated in heavenly places with him.
Appreciated the message this morning. Amen. Wow. All you really can do is say, wow. That was amazing what God did at Calvary. Let's sing this little song together. Calvary, Calvary, oh Calvary.
He died. That
Hallelujah. But that's not how. But that's not how the story is. For 3 days later, he rose again. That's love. That's love. That's love. That's love. That's love. That's love. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. Hallelujah. For me. That's love. That's not how the story ends. 3 days later, Lord. That's love. That love.
Precious Lord. See what you accomplished there on Calvary, oh God. It means the world to us, Lord. When we recognize that event, Lord God, it changed our lives, Lord. It brought salvation, Lord, to our souls. Father, to hear that message and to realize that Abraham took Isaac on the same mountain that you would take your son. But Lord, you provided yourself a lamb. When Abraham turned to see that ram, he was caught in a thicket. And that very same lamb that you created, your own son, he was caught in a thicket. He had a crown of thorns on his head, Lord. And we know that the thorns represented a curse, Lord. For there was never a thorn, Lord, until sin came upon the earth when the earth was cursed. And he became a curse for us. Lord, the curse that was supposed to be on us, Lord God, he took it upon himself. We're so grateful that you did it, Lord. We're so grateful that you did it. Thank you for your love, Lord. This is love. This is true love. No greater love than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friends. And this you put on display on Calvary. Now may we die to ourselves daily, Lord, to show forth your love to this dying world, Lord. Help us each one, Lord, to surrender our lives completely to you, Lord, that you may use us, Lord, to win your children back to yourself. Father, I pray, oh God, that you will bless Brother Jack in a special way. Bless this congregation of your children. Lord God, the word that we heard, may we meditate on it day and night, Lord God. May it continue to transform our lives into your very image. Father, I ask that as we leave this place, but not your presence, Lord, that you be with each and every one of us, Lord. Bring us all back at the appointed time, Lord. Bless your children this week as we commit ourselves to you in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. God bless you. You may have your seats and our brothers come and dismiss you.